It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Well, with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Mr. Pryor.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Uh-huh. Are you maintaining in lockdown?
I'm maintaining, yeah.
Maintaining, that's about all any of us can do is work. Who thought we would still be dealing with this situation, kind of a second round of problems. And you want to talk to people this week about how to get along when they're locked down.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of this on the radio. And I just thought, you know, I just was talking to a young Christian man the other day who was you know, hoping that this would be over, and then here comes like another wave of lockdown. And so I thought I would just do something encouraging today. You know, the name of the show is Sound Mind. And although I am a licensed a master's level psychologist or counselor, I'm also have been a Christian for decades. And so I want to just bring fatherly advice, and actually I'm probably old enough to do that for most of the people out there, and encouragement to people. You know, we have the Bible, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and that applies to every situation in life to bring about God's purpose. But a lot of the times we have these verses that they almost have become platitudes for us. We accept them as true, and we wish them to be true, and sometimes we desperately need them to be true, but a lot of times we don't thoroughly grasp the full meaning of a passage or how it can apply to us. And a perfect example is in Romans 5, and I want to just take some time at the show here today and go through Romans 5, 1 through 5, and kind of break it down a bit. And this is one of those passages where it sounds good, sounds wonderful, but getting it to apply in some of these situations, it feels a little bit difficult. And so I think it's one of those scriptures that we read across it, and we say amen, but actually realizing it, having it real to us, is a different problem. So just read through those first five verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. And this is the difficult part of this. And not only that, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so I think a lot of people, when we read this, we can say amen to it, but a lot of in our thinking sometimes we might be we might wonder about this connection between tribulation and patience, because it would seem like calm is what brings patience, and tribulation brings frustration. Mm. And so the word patience, we want to understand, is not self-control, like, resisting the urge to haul off and hammer somebody is not patience. That's just self-control. Patience is something different. So just these terms, tribulation, patience, this is a progression. Tribulations, patience, experience, hope. Tribulations, I don't think that needs any explanation. We know what that is. Patience might need some explanation. A lot of translations, and if you do the word study on this, you come up with something in the neighborhood of cheerful endurance. Not just enduring, but cheerfully enduring. So that's a little bit, little bit of a tight fit there. Tribulation brings cheerful endurance. So we need to maybe break that one down a bit. Then cheerful endurance brings proven character, or temperance would be another way to say that. There are, like I say, if you do a word study, you'll have similar terms, but this is close enough. And then temperance or proven character brings confidence, and confidence, it's this end part is a little bit, verse 5, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Maybe that makes sense to you, just as it's written, but I had to kind of try to wrap my mind around hope making not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So a lot of some of that is looking at the Greek and what were the words that Paul was actually using. And usually the English is really, really close, but our English language has changed so much that there can be confusion there. So we have tribulation, working cheerful endurance, working temperance, improving character, working confidence. One way that made sense to me as I was looking through this was to kind of put this in, frame this in terms of an analogy. The analogy of sailing, which I use a lot, it's a lot like life. There's a lot of cross over there. So we're sailing. Imagine yourself sailing, and this is we're off the shore. We're out in the ocean, and we're sailing. And we have an agreed destination. There's a destination. We're not just out there wasting time. We're actually en route to a place, and so we have a destination. Looking forward to this destination, a vacation spot or something. And so when the water is calm, and when the water is calm and we're sailing along, there's no urgency, is there, to arrive anywhere. There's no immediate need to be at the destination. Let's imagine that this is a large boat. It's a fun boat, and there's a lot to look at, and we're just enjoying the weather. And it's calm, peaceful, and so there's no particular attention even to the precision of the course or seamanship, because there's not a lot of work to do when the water is calm, and let's say we've got a nice calm breeze, and so there's no real concern, there's no worry, and we're content just to enjoy the journey. So this is not patience, though. Patience requires some urgency. So let's imagine now that the wind starts working up and we get a little bit of chop on the water. And now there's a bit more attention to the details of sailing the ship and maybe some attention toward our course. And then a storm develops. And now we're becoming in earnest about the precision of the course. Are we on? And not only that, but the time of arrival. You know, as the storm whips up, we know that we're going to arrive, but we want to be there now. We want to be out of our current situation. So now whereas before in the calm, we weren't really focusing so much on the destination. We were enjoying the journey. But now in the storm, we're focused on the destination. When are we going to get there? We know we're going to get there, but we want to be there now. So here we see, this is where we see patience, is this cheerful endurance. What do we have to be cheerful about? Well, we know that the destination is sure. There's no question about the destination. We're pretty sure that the boat's capable, so there's no real worries there. So that's what we have to be cheerful about, that this is going to be temporary. There is a destination. The boat is capable. No worries there. The endurance is that we have to get through this storm. There's no alternative. We can't just wish our way out of this. Mm-hmm. We still have to get through the storm. So this is so here we have the idea of the cheerful endurance, which works experience. Well, experience, proven character, or temperament. So as we work managing the boat in the storm, and it responds as it should respond, and we recognize that what we're doing in managing this boat, working the sheets and working the apparatus. I'm not a sailor, but I do know the term sheets. Tacking and et cetera, et cetera. We begin to recognize that this is, in fact, is the correct process that we have to engage in order to get to our destination. This is experience. We're learning to sail the ship, and we're learning that by doing the things, by attending to the things, the seamanship. This is the actual process by which we're going to move forward in the desired direction and in the toward our destination. So this experience, then, the confidence in the boat and the confidence in the process, brings about hope. Well, what is hope? Well, hope is not just having your fingers crossed and saying, "Boy, you know, I hope the storm doesn't last long," or "I hope the boat floats," or "I hope." The hope we're talking about here is a confident hope. You know, there's a way of saying Christ is our only hope, as if he's like a substitute player on the sidelines and we don't use him very often. We sure hope he can come through, but he's our only hope. Or another way of saying that Christ is the only hope. There's no reason to hope on anything else. He is the hope. He's the rock. He's the security. That's what we're talking about here. This experience brings about hope. So as we continue in our experience, as we continue to successfully manage in these circumstances, in the storm, further trusting the boat, further trusting the process, we begin to look forward to the destination more. And we have further confidence and joy in anticipating the destination. If you could put yourself in that place where, you know, sailing along and the storm is there and, you know, at first you panic a little bit, but you get into the process and you realize that, no, by working this process, we're going to get there. Then you begin to, with that trust in the process, you begin to focus more on the destination. It certainly isn't calm. You're not enjoying the ocean around you, but you're thinking about the desiring that destination. We know we're going to get there, but it becomes our focus. So you see what happens in tribulation is tribulation articulates our destination, and it brings about the specific earnest and the specific focus that we don't have. You've noticed what this tribulation has done for a lot of us is bring us back to the Bible, bring us back to prayer, bring us back to the promises. We know they're true, but we haven't really focused on them. And so, and then this part about the hope doesn't make ashamed. We get some of the prize, the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts, or the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is part of the destination. And so, the hope is not hopeless. So when we come back, I want to give four suggestions that we might follow to kind of, you know, help to manage, sail the boat or manage through this, through the current crisis situation.
Okay, well, managing in the lockdown, our theme this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel is still doing a lot of counseling. A lot of your counseling you're doing through Skype. How do people get in touch with you?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, and as you say, the office is in Kirkland and Edmonds and Scott.
And people maybe have more time. They can listen to some of your previous broadcasts, too, there at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Mm-hmm. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast this week. Daniel giving us some tips for managing in the lockdown, kind of expounding on Romans 5. Seems sounds to me another way to say the sailing exercise you're talking about is no pain, no gain, maybe is a real simple way to say it. Instead of the sailing analogy, how about the weightlifting analogy and working out? If you don't work at it, if you don't apply yourself, those muscles will not grow.
And the other thing, we've talked about this a bit before on the show, is that the whole idea of suffering is kind of interesting, because we, as you said, no pain, no gain. We suffer at things, and we don't question the suffering as long as we can see the relevance of it. For example, if you're trying to build muscle mass, you know that by lifting weights you're going to ache, or if you want to be a long distance runner, you know that by increasing your distance you're going to hurt. But you don't question the hurt. You don't say things like, if there's a God, why does my body hurt? You know, your body hurts because you're going toward a goal. And we have to have that same frame of mind in tribulation, there has to be a sense of what the destination is and why it would require this kind of endurance. So we talked a little bit about this in the previous part of the show, where tribulation articulates the destination. It brings about that specific earnestness and the specific focus on our destination. And what does the scripture say about our destination? And, the question of why this tribulation takes us to the New Testament and to the Word of God, which explains why the tribulation.
But we can have this hope in this life, too. So often Christians mm-hmm. are accused of being by and by pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's got to apply to both. I mean, mm-hmm. of course, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, and these are light and momentary mm-hmm. afflictions, because one day we'll be with mm-hmm. the Lord in heaven. But it needs to apply also to this time too, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, because what's going here on earth, I've never believed that this was just a trial run. It is critical that the body of Christ arrive at a certain place here. And that's one of the things I see with the lockdowns and the change up in church schedules and these kinds of things, where people who have been, like in our analogy of sailing in the calm, are now having to focus on the idea of how do I, what is the relevance of this tribulation? Why is this necessary? What is God's plan? What is his eternal plan? But that, of course, includes what's going on here, because I see the need for the body of Christ to come to that perfect man, the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that is prerequisite to his coming back. And so, we can't look beyond, back to our sailing analogy, we can't look beyond the storm and envision the destination. We have to manage the storm. We have to sail the boat through the circumstances. Mm-hmm. That has something to do with, I was going to bring up here four suggestions, and which actually came up in a session that I had this past week. First one of the four suggestions has to do with information, and that's part of the information. I think that these times of trials and tribulation right now, and these aren't new to the Christian walk. These aren't new to Earth. They may seem new to us here in the West, but the church around the world has been, they've heard that this is, Christianity is more persecuted today than at any other time in history. Mm-hmm. So there are people who live in other parts of the world who are under tremendous trial. But what is the purpose of the trial? And for myself, one big purpose of the trial is that it's galvanizing the body of Christ, the global body of Christ, as it causes us to focus on the core of God's purpose and what's going on. So that's information is power, or knowledge is power. And so I think that information is really important. Information about what God is doing and the relevance of tribulation. What are the wonderful things that are happening in the body of Christ because of the suffering, because of the trials? Another kind of information, though, is just some down-to-earth information about you hear so many different stories of concerning the virus and different, whether it's that particular issue or some other issue. And there are so many voices, and it can be unsettling to not have the actual facts of things. And a lot of times, if we're just listening to like popular news, we're not getting the facts. And so we need to. It's just better to know the answers, even if it's not the kind of thing that we can go around telling people. You could liken it to a person's knowledge of the scripture. You may not be an evangelist, you may not be a pastor, a teacher, you may not have that kind of ministry, but doesn't it feel better to know the word than to be ignorant of the word? Even if you're not sharing it, even if it's for your personal life. When Paul and Silas were in prison, or we could expand that, couldn't we, to the hundreds of thousands of Christians that have been in situations where they weren't free to share the gospel. Would it be better that they don't know the word? No, it's always better to have the information. It's always better to have the confidence of the information. So I would encourage people to look at, in light of this this pandemic, I would encourage people to look away from the popular news where you're not going to really get the truth and look at things, practical news, things like maybe Newsmax, or there are some good books being written about the actual facts of it. Again, it may not be the kind of thing that you feel free to share with people, but it will give you more confidence knowing the truth about the facts. So rather than be ignorant of them, I know sometimes we just don't want to be part of the mix-up and part of the conversation and part of the aggression, and so we kind of bury our head in the sand, but that doesn't make us feel better. This having information is important then, but it doesn't operate on its own. I have like four suggestions here, and they really work together, but I don't think any one of them is going to see us through this this time very adequately. Another one would be community, camaraderie.
Now that's really challenged in this season.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I just say you have to find out
extra
ways to
effort.
Do this, how you can do this, whether it's if you can meet it with a friend or a couple of friends at a home and everybody's comfortable and you can do that. If not, we just have to find ways, whether it's by through email or telephone calls or just ways to continue to remain in contact, fellowship with people who share faith and share our concerns, uplifting one another, encouraging one another. So I have a couple of close friends for a long, long time that we used to get together weekly for lunch just to talk about, current events and the gospel and the relevance of that. And then it was cut back, and then it was cut back, and now it's, there aren't restaurants, at least right now, that we could comfortably go to. We can meet at one house or another. But even in this season, even in addition to the lockdown, families get busy, and so it's easy to kind of withdraw from community and camaraderie and those kinds of things. But I just encourage you to continue to look for ways to join with people that share your faith and share your concerns, and again, like you can lift one another up. A fourth one is I have down here agape, and what I mean, of course, by that is getting outside of yourself and your self-interest. You know, a lot of our worry happens when we get too self-centered, and so if we can focus out, think of a scripture on the way into the radio today. My commandment to do is if you love one another that your joy may be full. My commandment, I love one another that your joy may be full. So agape, getting outside of myself and loving others is a way of having a full joy. Mm-hmm. And so employing yourself to the service of another person outside of your own little shell, could be your spouse. If you're fortunate enough to have a wonderful marriage, just husband and wife, encouraging one another. Sometimes the wives are the strong rock. They lift up the husband. Sometimes the husband is the one who lifts up the wife. So sharing, lifting one another, encouraging one another, it's a great venue for talking mm-hmm. over scripture. Mm-hmm. Family, meeting the needs of one another. Look for needs that you can meet. The fourth one is personal faith, of course, our personal devotions, our prayer time, the study of Scripture, meditating, and communion with the Lord. We need to spend time doing that. So we have information, we have communion, our community, we have agape, we have personal faith. And we want to synthesize all these and in a sense that we see the relevance of tribulation and what it's doing in the body of Christ. And we remember here Romans 8:28 in closing that that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called, you know, according to his purpose. So these, God has a purpose. He has a singular purpose, has to do with the body of Christ and has to do with us. And so all these things I've mentioned, we want to synthesize these information, community, agape, personal devotion, contemplate the relevance of what God's doing. Mm-hmm. These things are working together for good. So how do they do that, and how do they fit into our lives, into the lives of other people? So I hope those are helpful. It's not exhaustive, of course, but helping us to get through tough times and
okay.
By God's grace.
Well, yeah. Managing in the lockdown this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, if people need help, you are counseling on the phone, on Skype, or I guess different Zoom or different things. How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find about 7 years of radio shows as well, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and also, as you mentioned, Skype, FaceTime.
Okay. Okay, always great, helpful information from Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.